This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Half-Baked Apple Documents.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Apple computer shares are down by as much as 3% this morning in Europe. This on the heels of reports about the company's stock option problems. On Wednesday, a legal newspaper first reported on the possibility of fake stock option documents. This morning, the Financial Times says Apple CEO Steve Jobs was given $7.5 million in stock options back in 2001 without approval from the company's board. The Forbes report say the board did give its okay. The Securities and Exchange Commission is looking into the matter. 13,000 Goodyear tire and rubber workers will vote on a new contract today. This follows a three-month strike. Negotiations were difficult, complicated by the fact that there were more parties involved than just labor and management. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli has more.
If you've been trying to keep score on this one, good luck. Still, the big issues are familiar. Who controls the size of the workforce and who pays health care costs? Labor specialist John Russo at Youngstown State University says both sides gave a little.
It's a good agreement for both the company and the union, ultimately.
Reporter Jim McKinnon covered the strike for the Akron Beacon Journal.
Goodyear gets a chance to close down some of its excess capacity after 2007. Meanwhile, the union workers are going to continue to get health care benefits.
But wait, John Russo says there's a third party involved.
During the negotiations, the retirees at Goodyear actually picketed both the union and the company.
Russo says retirees may be the big losers here because they'll have to pay more for health care. This strike also featured organized support from Goodyear workers in other countries. Welcome to the new world of multinational, multigenerational labor talks. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, Britain will pay the final installment of a long-standing debt to the U.S. Treasury. The U.K. will pay off a 61-year-old loan which saved it from bankruptcy at the end of World War II. But they'll pay it off rather begrudgingly, as Stephen Beard reports from London.
Britain played a key role in defeating Hitler, but at enormous economic cost. In 1945, the UK was all but bankrupt. It could hardly afford to import sufficient food. In desperation, the UK turned to its wealthiest ally and begged for help. The US offered $4.3 billion at 2% a year. That was unfair, says Martin Wolf at the Financial Times.
It was an unjust loan, in my view, in the sense that America should have recognised the price that Britain had paid in fighting the war, but they didn't.
2 years later, the US donated more than $13 billion under the Marshall Plan to pay for the reconstruction of the war-shattered countries of Europe, including Germany. Meanwhile, over the years, Britain has grumbled and steadily paid off its loan. The last instalment, $84 million, will be paid to the US Treasury tomorrow. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Last week, Mesa Airlines bought into the China air travel market with a stake in Shenzhen Airlines. Today, word is Citigroup is in talks to pick up a piece of another Chinese carrier, Spring Airlines. Spring is a small, no-frills carrier owned by a big travel agency in China. Another historic day for the Dow as it surpasses 12,500 for the first time ever. The Dow soared 102 points to 12,510. The Nasdaq climbed 17 points to 2431, and the S&P added 9 points to 1426. This is Marketplace. A vending machine for books. Janet Babin reports from the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
The machine looks like an elaborate printer. It can produce up to 20 fully bound books an hour in any language. On-demand Books is marketing the machine. You can see a demo of it on the company's website.
All fully integrated, automated, and under the control of one computer.
Professor Paul Jones at the University of North Carolina says this type of machine will make it easier for bookstores to compete with online retailers like Amazon.
One of the things that we're going to see more of is the ability to walk in and have your reading and other interests satisfied right there.
The company says it'll have access to more than 2 million book titles, most in the public domain. But Jones says it'll need much more content to become successful. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. As this year ends, we say goodbye to a GOP-dominated Congress. The new year will bring a return to Democratic control of both houses. But the new Congress will find itself facing a lot of challenges, in part because of work its colleagues didn't complete before leaving. John Dimsdale is our Washington Bureau Chief. Welcome, John.
Good morning, Mark.
A lot of work on the federal budget still remains, doesn't it?
Yeah, the old Congress failed to pass 9 of the 11 spending bills that run the government, and the stopgap measure expires in the middle of February, so there's a gap between then and the beginning of the next fiscal year, October. The incoming budget appropriations chairman for the Democrats, David Obie of Wisconsin in the House and West Virginia's Robert Byrd in the Senate, say that they're not even going to try to pass individual budget bills for the rest of the fiscal year. They're just going to extend this stopgap measure. Now, the bad news there is that thousands of government programs, worthy line items, health, education, environment, are going to fall short of inflation from last year or population increases that would normally increase their budgets. The good news is the government spends less and, you know, there's no vehicle for these earmarks.
Speaking of earmarks, what can we look forward to from the Democrats in that way?
They want to limit those earmarks. For example, Congress might put $1 million for the National Institutes of Health, and they would say, you know, we're going to give you $1 million, but $200,000 has to be spent at this university and another $100,000 at that hospital. So that way, the member of Congress gets to go back to the district and say, look what I brought back to you. It's going to be tough to reform that. The Democrats also want to restore the old pay-as-you-go rules from the 1990s. It means before you can approve new spending or new tax cuts, you have to identify how the government's going to pay for it. It might just stick because many conservatives, fiscal conservatives, like it as well as the Democrats.
Lobbyists had the key to the front door with GOP lawmakers thanks to the K Street Project. Are they already lining up to be the best friend to Democrats?
You know, these lobbyists know how Washington works and they know how to adapt. If anything, the Democrats' takeover is good for them because they can tell their clients, you know, it's a whole new ball game here. You've got to play to win. You've got to pony up some fees and we'll represent you with the new people. They also know the newcomers are ready to stay in power for the next election. So the same old channels of campaign contributions are still going to be flowing with money.
Having a new party in control means new chairman for important committees. Who are some of the ones we need to pay close attention to?
Well, there's the tax writing House Ways and Means Committee. It's going to transfer from a conservative Californian, Bill Thomas, to a New Yorker, Charles Rangel. The House Banking Committee, more accurately, the Financial Services Committee in the House. Barney Frank is a veteran Massachusetts liberal House member. He takes over from Michael Oxley of Sarbanes-Oxley fame. And Frank's going to get a lot of support over on the Senate side from his colleague from Massachusetts, Edward Kennedy, who takes control of the important Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee from a conservative Wyoming Republican, Michael Enzi.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
John Dimsdale is the Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Wall Street executives are.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.